It's time to get frickin' Sendy up in here. Bronzies, are y'all getting Sendy today? I guess we are, as where we sit here in our chairs with microphones in front of us, being lethargic. Well, Bronzies, hope you're all doing absolutely well today. We certainly are on this fine Tuesday afternoon, evening, so on and so forth. All is well in central Colorado here. And yeah, so no complaints from our end. On the north end of the table, as per usual, we've got Zach here. And then on the
Just say
south.
Doug today, so don't get sued.
And then on the south end of the table, we've got Mr. Doug.
There you go.
E
All right.
Fresh.
Oh, God. You're gonna get sued. You're gonna get us sued.
We'll put the blame on me. And we are absolutely delighted to have guested on the podcast with us today. We have Mr. Ryan Bledsoe of Bledsoe Said So and Twice Born. Ryan, thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Hell yeah, pleasure is all ours. Pleasure is all ours. So I guess kind of just right off the bat, we are a music podcast, so we can dive into some of that right off the bat just to kind of get into that. So actually, first question, we usually, as of late, we've kind of gotten down the rabbit hole before we've gotten to this question, but we'll start with this one today. Ryan, what music have you been listening to as of late, over the last week, over the last month? What's been piquing your interest music-wise? It could be metal, it could be non-metal. Give us your intel.
Well, I mean, at the forefront is always metal. Like I just have this itch in my brain that I've had since the first time I ever heard Disturbed at 10 years old. It's just like, I don't know, man. I'm just like, it's cheesy, but like I'm ever since hearing Down with the Sickness, man, I've like had this itch for, like the first time you hear that song, and I've been obsessed with metal my whole life. I've always, everything else comes second, third, fourth, fifth after metal. So like lately, I've really been into the new Veil of Maya album. It just
Oh,
came
I
out
haven't checked that
like
out yet. I like that. I heard
the
one song off it and it was really cool. It's like a different
dude.
vibe, kind of.
Do you like Veil of Maya at all?
I've listened to them for a long time. I played a show with them back in Chicago years ago. I'm a fan of them. I just kind of, I guess sometimes you like grow up with these bands and then you lose track. You kind of like lose contact with them for a while and then eventually you work your way back. I think I'm kind of on the
In your defense, it
tail end of
took
it.
6 years for them to put out a new album.
Oh, fair enough. Then I'm safe.
Well, I mean, I fell
But
off too. Like I really liked them back in like the Eclipse days with like when they were, heavier. And then they came out with the singy stuff and I was like, it's all right, but it's not my thing. This new album is like heavy, like the older stuff. So it's kind of got me right now. But I'll always, Darko, Chelsea Grin, Carcosa. I've been really vibing with Carcosa.
Someone else
There's just
mentioned them
kind of like
recently, yeah.
up and coming band. I don't know. But you said you played a show with them. What do you mean? Are you in a band?
So I used to live back in Chicagoland area, and I used to play in a band called it was originally called Villains, and then the name got switched for legal reasons to Youth Forever.
Are
And
you for real? I know that
hell yeah, yeah. So yeah, I used to play with
Wow.
those guys back in
That's
the
really cool,
day. Yeah,
actually.
Skeleton Youth Forever. I drummed on that album. So
Dude, that's freaking sick.
yeah. Well, thank you, thank you. Thank you for checking out the music. I really appreciate that. They were a fun band to rock with, and they were high school buddies of mine back in the day and all that. So we had an opportunity. There's this venue in Cicero, Illinois, like Chicago, like kind of Chicago outskirts a little bit. It was called The Wire, and it was called the 20 Bands of Christmas, and it was just this stacked lineup. And yeah, we were direct support for it was Veil of Maya directly after us, and then Born of Osiris after that. It was like one of the
Nice.
coolest shows. So yeah, that was the opportunity with that one. But yeah, they're an awesome band, so it was great seeing them live. They're like extremely tight. Like Marco Cuba is like fucking insane.
That the drummer? I don't know their names or
Their guitarist. He's like,
Okay.
it's Okuba, right? Am I right?
Okubo, yeah. Yep.
Okubo, yeah. But
He's super good.
they're very tight live. They're extremely tight.
He's very creative.
Yeah.
I think that's his big, I mean, obviously he's a tight player, but he's super creative.
Yeah, and like especially in like I know I feel like over years he kind of dialed back the technical playing, but he's super capable of that. Is like the cool thing. Like you listen to what was it, the Frail Man's Collapse? Something like that collapse.
I'm gonna be honest. I did not jump on Veil of Maya
Until
until
Lucas
Lucas
Magyar.
Magyar.
Totally feel you on that. But yeah, he used to do like super like be shreddy all the time and all that. So they're a sick band. So yeah.
Yeah, they're super good.
Very, very versatile too. But yeah, so you were also saying Veil of Maya, you're saying the two sick Tom Barber
Yeah,
bands. We got
the
Chelsea
Tom
Grin and
Barbers. Yep,
Darker.
Darko, and then through becoming friends with, I got into Chelsea Grin because I liked Darko so much, and I started following Chelsea Grin because of Tom. And then I met Tom, and it's like, God, well, now I was like, you know, definitely got to support the band. And I ended up loving it. I mean, Chelsea Grin is amazing. The new album is amazing. And then aside from that, I mean, just a lot of the other stuff. Like, I like Brand of Sacrifice. I like their Lifeblood album. I really love Lifeblood. And Carcosa. I don't know if you guys know about Carcosa, but they hit me right.
I think we heard someone else mention them in their like recent music lineup, but I can't recall who.
I've listened to Carcosa.
I don't think I've ever listened to them before.
I'm sure you've seen them because the lead singer was him and another guy were doing like those Christmas song covers, or like they were doing like a bunch of TikTok stuff.
Okay,
I'm sure you came across it somewhere. Totally, but
likely have. Yeah,
yeah, they're good. They fuck. I mean, dude, this shit is really good. Dude.
Yeah. What about you guys? So I laid mine on the table. So what about you guys?
3, 2, 1. Sleep Token. Sleep Token.
Yeah, for the last 4 days.
I don't know Sleep Token. I'll have to check them out.
Wait, no, have you heard of them?
Mm-mm.
That's actually fascinating.
It is.
That's really, really fascinating.
They're like the rage, right? They're like the...
Yeah.
They're like parting the Red Sea right now.
They're a fascinating band. So to give you a little bit of like background about them, some would maybe like deem it like gimmicky, but like... The whole band is totally anonymous. Their vocalist, like all of them wear masks, and their vocalist goes by the name of Vessel. Aren't they like, don't they claim to be like a part of a cult from like a deity named Sleep or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all their music is like, it's really funny. We just had a podcast yesterday. And we were talking with the homies on that about like the dynamics of it. It's like, their music sounds all across the board. Like it's got like peaks and valleys all throughout. It's like all over the place. And the response that listeners have is also all over the place. People either are crazy about it or they're like, or this is absolute dog shit.
Right.
And it's just a really interesting, like they've done a phenomenal job about marketing, for this release. They went from like 300,000 monthly Spotify listeners to, I think when I checked earlier today, it's about like 20 or 2.2 million Spotify listeners monthly. So yeah, Doug and I are both in the camp that is like, this band fucks big time.
Yeah.
I'll definitely check them out. I mean, I'm always looking for good new stuff.
Yeah.
They're not super heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have heavy parts, but they're like just an amalgamation of tons of different sounds.
Yeah.
But they do it so masterfully, and like this whole, like Take Me Back to Eden is really just this sonic journey.
Really is, yeah.
And it's just, goddamn, blows my mind. It just, like I said, a lot of people hate it. But for me, it just is mind blowing.
Yeah, 100%.
Is there anything you could compare it to? I mean, I'm like really intrigued.
So
I don't know how to compare it to anything.
Because like in any given song, it covers so much ground, frankly. Like
really?
They really, like when I say that they're like dynamic as hell, it's like not only in terms of like, you know, the intensity level, like peaking, like coming down low and being like nice and chill and then getting really heavy, but also in like the stylistic sense. Like at some points it can feel like super heavy beat down or thaw or whatnot. And then at other points it can feel like R&B.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds cool.
It's nuts. It's all over the board. So
great lyrics too. I mean,
and great vocals. Yeah. Like great like vocal sound.
Everybody
too.
Says he sings in cursive.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, do with that what you will. But I mean, the shoe fits, I guess.
You could very well fall into the camp that's like, this band is not it. And actually, that's like, I think that's kind of the biggest appeal to them is the fact that like,
they're polarizing.
They're polarizing. Exactly. Yeah. It's like a lot of other bands.
They're doing
something
right. They're doing something creative.
Yeah. Cause like a lot of bands will find a formula or a rhythm that kind of works well. And they'll be like, okay, cool. Like we've cracked the code, so to speak. And it's like, let's keep doing that. And I feel like these dudes were like, fuck the code.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Yeah.
They're like, whatever.
No rules.
Yeah. No rules. Just get sendy. So
that's a common thread for me, I think, with some of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
You know, Darko, Chelsea Grin.
Darko is very,
Bad Omens,
yeah. Darko and
North
Chelsea
Lane,
Grin are super out there with that.
Sleep
yeah.
Token.
Mm-hmm.
Architects, like they all do these kind of waves where it's like, you know, we're just going to do what we want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and, and like, I, for some reason that just pulls me in. Cause it's like, this era is kind of the same a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
They don't delve, you know, they don't like kind of stray from the line too far, but they kind of do the same thing. Northlane, same thing. Like they all, I don't know. That's what grips me is I'm like, this is a totally new thing for these guys, but they crushed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, I don't know. It just gets me going really, for sure. Yeah.
And speaking of exciting music then too, in that case. So, even though we're kind of getting into it about other people's music, tell us a little bit about your music. Tell us about your project Twice Born, about, about music that's coming out, about just everything in relation to that. Give us the lowdown.
Sure. So, I guess I'll like back up a little bit because, you know, we did the podcast first. So we started doing the podcast in, let me think about it. It's May of 2023. June in 2021 is when we started putting out the podcast, but we had been working on it since December of 2021. I mean, it's a team of four of us, my wife and my two best friends, Alex and Nick. If anyone's heard the podcast, they'll know who Alex and Nick are. And, you know, we had been discussing for like 6 months how we're going to get this together. What's it going to be? How are we going to execute it? You know, branding, getting the branding done, getting just everything in place before we launched. We didn't want to just launch and just wing it. We wanted to launch and have a clear vision and, you know, maybe not start out perfect, but evolve from there and have a really great jumping off point. Mm-hmm. But the whole time that we had been planning the podcast, my co-host, so Alex is the producer. So Nick is the co-host, and he's also the guitarist. He's like one of the vocalists and the bassist and the producer in Twice Born. So we were doing the podcast together, and the whole time we were planning Twice Born for a future release. We wanted to cement the podcast down. So we had been kind of like slowly writing music for the last, I mean, we've been really writing hardcore for like the last year, but we had been conceptualizing, you know, the whole time since we've been putting out the podcast. And yeah, so we just kind of wanted to come up with a side project that was not necessarily second to the podcast, but was like kind of spiritually attached to it, like a satellite project. You know, they're totally both, and they're independent projects. They have their own life, but like the podcast is first. We, you know, we do it, pump out episodes every week. Now we're pumping out bonus episodes. I mean, it's a lot of work, as you guys know. And yeah, so recently we started putting out singles, and kind of, you know, it's like, again, we really, I have to say this for anybody listening, like we're not some record label band. We're not some like really big following band. I mean, I think currently we're sitting at 295 monthly listeners on Spotify, but like that's a blessing because we're putting it out all for fun while focusing all of our time and energy on the podcast. So like, you know, it's all cherry on top. It's all fun bonus, all fun, whatever. So to get into like what Twice Born is about, if you don't mind.
Oh, please. Absolutely. Go
cool.
Please do.
Cool, cool.
I just want to make sure I'm not like boring you guys.
No, but, we love this. Get okay. into it.
Yeah. So like, you know, again, so the whole time we're conceptualizing very slowly while we're working on the podcast, and we kind of put together this airtight symbology behind the EP, which actually, what is today? Today is Tuesday.
Tuesday the 23rd.
So it comes out on Friday. The EP comes out Friday the 26th, right? Yeah, so it'll be out Friday. Mm-hmm. So the first EP is Mythos. It's a concept EP, and we wanted to, so for those who haven't heard our podcast, it's very much enmeshed into like esoteric literature, metaphysical, mystical wisdom traditions. That's a bunch of mumbo jumbo for spiritual stuff, you know? So
hell yeah.
For those who aren't very like super knowledgeable about that, esoteric means secret. So anything that's like outside of, you know, accepted mainstream religions is technically esoteric, or another popular word would be occult, you know? So like reincarnation, karma, all this, you know, mystical stuff. And that's typically what the podcast is about. And we wanted to tie without like marrying the band to the podcast and letting it be its own separate entity. We wanted it to kind of nod to that. So the first EP is Mythos, and each song is basically a different god from a different ancient mythological culture. So like we have Raijin, the Japanese thunder god. We have a song, which is entirely about the Hermes or the Hermes Trismegistus Emerald Tablets of Thoth. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that, but Emerald Tablets of Thoth. Mm-hmm. Anybody that Googles that, it's a very popular thing in like mystical circles. Mm-hmm. A lot of your traditional secret societies, like the Freemasons and the Rosicrucians and all these really big name groups that are well known in these kind of like, you know, circles, base a lot of their information off of this. We have one about, let me think about it. The Divine Feminine, the Mother, because for those who are like, if you're tuning in and you know who I am, then you know what this is about. If you have no clue who I am and you're just a regular listener of the show, my dad is actually like a pretty well-known paranormal entity contactee. We can go into as much or as little of that as you guys want, but he had an experience with a divine feminine entity. She's depicted here in this portrait.
He's pointing at a portrait that he has back there. We don't do all audio at this point, but they'll see it. Okay, cool. So yeah, it gives all of our listeners that much more reason to go check you out because you have video for it. So you'll see it in the background if you go check out Bledsoe Said So podcast.
I didn't realize this was audio only. That's a lot of pressure off my back. But So then let me be a little more descriptive. So my dad had this experience with a female entity in 2012 that this is going to sound crazy, but people can, you know, look it up and they'll see all the receipts. But basically, we were swarmed by like NASA, the CIA, Army Intelligence, Air Force Intelligence, Naval Intelligence, NSA, Homeland Security, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on and on. And there's a book out about it. And we've just been like run through the ringer being investigated by these government groups because of the intensity and sheer insane volume of paranormal experiences that we've had on our property. And, you know, the main takeaway here is it involved my dad seeing a floating blonde haired, blue eyed woman with a white dress that went from her neck to her feet. So anyway, the reason I bring that up, one of the songs is about that, the mother, the feminine, whatever you want to call it. One of them is not necessarily a literal mythology, but it's we're really big, super H.P. Lovecraft nerds, you know, like Eldritch cosmic horror. So we have one, the cosmic horror. Let me think. And Odin and Ragnarok. I think that's and Dionysus, the Greek god, which is actually what the name is about, twice born. So it all started from this. So my best friend, Nick, he's Greek, and it's kind of like a big running joke on our show. And we have a lot of like esoteric Greek discussions, you know, ancient Platonic philosophy and Orphism and all this really nerdy, like mystical stuff. So we kind of tie that into some of our episodes. And he's super fascinated by the Greek god Dionysus. And you guys might like this reference. Are you guys Joshua Travis fans? Tony Danza?
He's a unit. Yeah.
dude, he's a legend. So we grew up like crazy obsessed with Danza, which, you know, for anybody who listens to our music, they might hear a little bit of that influence in our music. And so Joshua Travis, the guitarist from Tony Danza Tap Dance Extravaganza, went and made a new band called Glass Cloud. And they have a song called Ivy and Wine, which is about the Greek god Dionysus, which is the twice-born son of Zeus. So that's where we got our name, was from the song Ivy and Wine from Glass Cloud. And it's about Dionysus. And we thought, why don't we just name the band that? It's sick, but it's also like a subtle reference to reincarnation, which is a message that we're really trying to, you know, teach people. Because I believe, you know, all of my entity experiences have indicated to me that reincarnation is the answer. You know, there is no hell when we die. But more so, we it's the journey of the soul. You know, we keep living through lifetimes, coming back until we grow to figure out where we need to go next, you know, ascend to the next place or whatever. It's a long story, but
yeah.
So that's where we got the name. And then we were like, you know what? But that's also got a double entendre there. We're a duo, twice born. And then, you know, next thing you know, my brother joins the band and we all found out that he's like, been practicing screaming in his car for 15 years. So that joke's out the window, but you know, it stuck. And that's basically twice born. I mean, we're brand new. So there's not like a whole lot, you know.
Dude, that's great though. I like just alone the fact that, and it like carried over from the fact that y'all were very, very calculated in how you went about bringing a podcast to be. Like you weren't just let's wing it or whatnot. And it sounds like that same exact approach was copy pasted in this case where it's like, Let's really be considerate and like cognizant of the details here and make it count and whatnot. So I think that's really cool. Like just the application and the execution on it. And then also, like the crossover between these ideas, like the, just looking at all this esoteric stuff, you know, just kind of almost like a, you know, an otherworldly or supernatural kind of like take on it. I don't know if that, I don't know if that could be perceived as a derogatory saying supernatural. So any of these words is only because I don't come from that understanding. So, I guess, so one thing I'm super curious about, since this is such an underlying aspect of what you're doing within the podcast and within the band, was it those encounters with the, like that your family had, was that what sparked this interest, or was there an interest before that? And this was just kind of reinforcement to that.
The interest in specifically the podcast?
Or no, just the interest in kind of these different things, whether it be like deities from different cultures or,
gotcha,
you know, the idea of the supernatural right now. Yeah.
So these experiences happened when I was 13 years old.
Yeah.
Back in 2007. Mm-hmm. And I know that you probably have listeners right now that are like, what the fuck am I listening to right now? You know, there's guys on here having
no, they're problems. With it. Trust
okay,
us.
Okay, cool.
If they're not, I don't care.
Fuck them.
But yeah, you know, it's a lot to take in. It's really a lot to take in. But yeah. There was a documentary out about my family in 2008 on the Discovery Channel called called UFOs Over Earth, and people can kind of catch up there. It's a really crappy hit piece. You know, it's. Again, I cover this in great length on our show, but essentially what they did was they fudged the lie detector test and made us look like complete crazy Southern bunkin' liars. But, you know, it didn't matter. Like, it got out of their hands and momentum built. And now we have like this, I say amazing because I'm the author's son and I feel like I'm allowed to gloat about my dad. I'm so proud of him, but he has this amazing best-selling book out that he just came out with like 3 months ago, like detailing the whole story, how they treated us, what happened, all the experiences, and et cetera, et cetera. But so I say all this to say we're from North Carolina, so we're smack dab in the Bible Belt, which, by the way, I got a lot of crap from my elders for listening to metal music when I started really getting into it at like 10, 11, you know, 12 years old, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we were actually Pentecostal holiness Christians. So if you guys aren't familiar with that, that's like, think about like two steps below Amish. Like you have Amish people who are like so super, super Christian that they live in like a community out, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then you have Mennonite, which is like a step below that, which is like strict, but like, you know, they don't, you know, have their own little community or whatever, but they're still super strict. Then you have Pentecostal, which was us. And it's like women wear long skirts. They can never cut their hair. If they're a good God-fearing Christian, they can never cut their hair. They can never wear jewelry. They can never wear makeup. They have to cover their entire body. And men have to wear suits to church every Sunday. It's very strict rules, 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 you know, judgment. You're going to go to hell. You're going to fucking burn forever. All this. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but that's how it really is.
Yeah, this is your experience.
You know,
how about it?
I knew some Pentecostal Christians growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's strict, right?
It is. Yeah. Very.
I mean, you
yeah,
can see it strict. From a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
But anyway, I say all that to say, can you imagine being in that perspective and then having paranormal experiences?
Dude, just a total shock.
What happened was they thought we were playing with the devil, demonically possessed, inviting in demons, and it was a complete shock to how we operated with the environment around us. I mean, just imagine, you know, we're having these experiences and they're insane. Like, I highly recommend people to read the book. They're very intense experiences. I'm talking like full on entity, you know, face to face. It's crazy. And we can go into that story if you guys want to go in that direction. But my point is, our perspective was living in the Bible Belt, and then we have these experiences, and then all of our family, our community, all of our friends, jobs, whatever, they hated us, they shunned us, they ridiculed us, they thought we were evil, they thought we were crazy, liars, drug addicts. Then the documentary came out, and it was like such an overwhelming, like catastrophic humiliation that was placed on our family when we were children. It sort of forced, getting back to your question, it sort of forced me to kind of have my own way of thinking about things. Well, yeah. I'm seeing these things and still am to this day in 2023. It's still happening. It never stopped. I'm seeing these things. I'm having these experiences. Why are they treating me this way when I talk about it? Why am I seeing these lights and then I read the Bible and it doesn't talk about them? Oh, actually, yeah. There is a passage that talks about them. It's every time they talk about some being coming down from the sky. It's in a burning wheel within a wheel that's described as being crystals and metal, and it's on fire. You know what I mean? So as a little kid, I sort of broke my mind from mainstream Christianity or whatever, and sort of like detangled my mind from that programming and kind of got really into things that go beyond that, like the mystical teachings, the esoteric knowledge and things of that nature, paranormal, supernatural, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So that was a very long-winded answer to your question, but it just kind of happened organically after just an incredibly shocking and intense life experiences pushing me in that direction.
Yeah.
Props for even mentioning it back then, because, you know, like just, you know, possibly having to deal with that, like it's almost like persecution in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like being in a community that's that strict on that. And like, and to me, that's what makes it sound even more true, is because like you're willing to like, you're like, all these bullshit be damned. Like, this is what I saw.
Yeah.
You know, like regardless of what anybody thinks, like I saw it and I'm saying something about it. Like even with the possibility of people being like, you're fucking crazy, that's ridiculous. Like there's nothing anywhere that says this kind of stuff. And
yeah,
you know, and I'll even flip it back on Pentecostalism and all these like the Amish. And cause I grew up Christian. There's nothing in the Bible anywhere that says you have to live like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like for you to already put this bullshit guise on this stuff, and not trying to be disrespectful, but it might sound that way, but it's like for you to put that on that already and then judge other people when there's nothing anywhere that says you have to live that way,
mm-hmm.
is also kind of like, well, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of the way I see that, but props, dude. I am proud of you for saying that back then.
I appreciate that. It was all my dad. I mean, again, I was a 13-year-old kid. It was my dad and my brother, Chris Jr., who at the time was like 16 or 17, who initially had these experiences. And the next thing you know, we're all having them as a family, still are. And I do have to check myself. I have to I feel a level of guilt, you know, because coming from a spiritual perspective, I don't mean, if there's anybody out there who's listening and is Christian, I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody's faith. It's just the way that I was treated, but I still have a respect for, you know, some of the things from that tradition, but it totally. Just, it, you know, just clear my own bases there. I don't mean to come off as,
yeah.
You know.
And frankly, like none of us even need to worry about disclaimers. Cause the fact that we even care enough to put out a disclaimer like that, like, hey, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Like already speaks volumes enough that it's like, hey, like you were treated this way. Everyone's kind of had their experience of being treated a certain way by some sort of group at some point. And just from having had that, and then your response being, I'm talking about this group like in other people's context, and I don't want to be like that alone just like speaks the volume. So any of our listeners understand they're the chillest people in the world, so no one will take this personally.
There's good people and bad people in everywhere, in regardless of belief structures,
and good things and bad things in everything, you know. Yeah. And Christianity is no different. I mean, I don't mean to go on a tangent about that, but it does have some good things, like love your neighbor, love God, whatever we want to think about God. People might not believe in God. That's fine. Mm. I do. And the way that I understand God is that it is the intelligent mind. It, you know, a lot of people these days are hip to this simulation theory. I think that's close. I think that's very, very close to what's really going on here. Mm-hmm. I think it's more like in the East, are you guys familiar with like Buddhism, Taoism, like Tibetan Buddhism, which is a more secretive version and things like that?
Familiar enough, yeah.
They had this concept that, like, it's called the Tao, that God or even Hindus said the same thing. They call it Brahma. There's so many different religions in the ancient past that had their own way of describing this.
Mm-hmm.
That essentially we live in an incredibly, and now I also have to give this disclaimer that they're not using these literal words in this modern language. This would be anachronistic, which means they didn't have this language back then, but they're describing this.
Mm-hmm.
What they described in these ancient mystery systems is that God is like this intelligent mind, right? It's the initial spark. Like when the Big Bang exploded and the universe began, there was this original spark, this original mind, right? You and me and everybody else, we're all just like, when that mind expanded into becoming everything all at once, we're all just little pieces of that energy of that mind. Or you could say we're all thoughts inside of that mind. Right.
Yeah.
So That's the way I see it. You know, there, it is God, but it's not like sitting on a throne, you know, with a white beard and like throwing lightning bolts. That's a really cool story. But in reality, I think it's more so like the omniscient, omnipotent, universally creative force that life flows through. It doesn't necessarily have a face or a name. It could be seen as impersonal. It's an energy. It's a mind. It's a force, right? Mm. What does that sound like? Star Wars, the force.
No, Doug's
it's like
about
an
that.
Organic CPU. I feel like the way that is just
So that's weird to think about. Aliens running a computer? No, that I don't think. I think that's not it's, quite it. I think it's more
the
like
Truman
a con-
no, I'm just kidding.
It's like a consciousness matrix. But anyway, so I mean that's kind of what our show is about, and like we've really hit it off. In a really quick span. I mean, we've only been out for 2 years, and like it's gone places that like we couldn't imagine. And back to what you're saying earlier about the carefully, you know, calculating thing. I knew back in 2021 when we put this out, it had to be careful, it had to be thorough, it had to be as tight as possible, because we already had a public image after having been out on like, you know, the Discovery Channel all those years ago.
Yeah.
And I did want to say this, and I can't go into too much detail presently, but very soon we'll be making an appearance on the History Channel, which will be covering a lot of this stuff that we've talked about now. And all I will say is if any of this is interested to anybody so far, highly recommend checking that out. Anyway, that's all I can say about that. But
hell yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
Dude, absolutely. Absolutely. So one thing that sparks my curiosity specifically is like, so we have this idea of there being like an omniscient force that kind of like creates everything within the universe. So like just in general, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how things like the specifics of you gave it a specific name to it, and I'm blanking on it right now, but to the experience that you had, you said it was the feminine,
the divine feminine. Yeah.
The divine feminine. Like with that, how does that come into play? Like, especially like as an entity itself, as well as the fact that you're having like recurring experiences with your family, I guess what is that amidst everything exactly?
Okay.
I don't know if you can even get into that. If you can,
it's going to be a long-winded answer. Is that okay?
Please. Yeah. It's gonna be, okay. We're along for this ride. This is fascinating.
It's a complicated story. So
yeah.
Okay. I already gave the background about being like super, you know, Pentecostal Christian or whatever. So back in 2012, at this point, I'm 18 years old. Or 18. And we had been 5 years into this thing. It all started in 07. So 5 years is going on. We're seeing lights. We're seeing entities walk around our yard and sometimes in our house and knock stuff over like poltergeist activity. My mom's been shoved in the kitchen. All kinds of crazy stuff has been going on. So 2012, my dad has this experience where it's either Sunday night that Easter or it's Monday night. I can't remember. I'm not the one that experienced, my dad did, but I know it was Easter time. You know, it was the week of Easter. It was either Sunday or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But he wakes up at 3 a.m. to a voice that says, "Arise." And he gets out of bed. He gets dressed. He goes out to the backyard and he sees three of these entities. And they walk him through the yard. And I'm skipping a lot of details here because I don't want to like miss out on like getting to the good stuff. And a lot of people are probably, this is their first time hearing the story and it's all detailed in the book, but essentially these entities lead him through our yard. It's a big yard out in the country, 6 acres with woods and trees, and there's like farmland around us and stuff. So it's really secluded out in the dark. And they lead him through the woods around our property into this back where there's this, hunting kennel full of dogs. They're just like hunting dogs out back in the woods, leads him back there. He turns around after having this thing that they gave him that he put in the kennel. There's more details about that in the book. But anyway, so he turns around and he sees this lady, just this floating entity. And she says, "You know why I'm here? It's your burden. You have to tell your story." The context there is for, you know, 5 years of ridicule, the documentary initially having coming out. We were so heavily just bullied and mentally tortured that dad decided he never wanted to talk about this stuff again. He was tired of his kids being made fun of at school. He was tired of all of it. And she's like, you can't give up. Basically, this is your burden. You agreed to do this. You have to go tell your story. There's some dark people in power at the very top of humanity who are forcing biblical scripture from the book of Revelations to play out on a global scale so that they can try to manifest a cataclysmic end time event. But what's going to happen is, it was, again, this is, you know, paraphrasing from this entity. She said, what's going to happen is the light is going to win. It's already written. The story is going to spread. You just got to go out and tell it. And essentially, she left with this. When the red star Regulus aligns with the gaze of the Sphinx just before dawn in the constellation Leo, we're going to enter a new knowledge, and we will basically be in the age of Aquarius, an age of peace, enlightenment, no more being in the dark about the mysteries of consciousness and, you know, supernatural and the afterlife and what all this really means and our relationship to the divine and the universe. Mm-hmm. And what was your question again? I just want to make sure I'm on track.
No, the
divine feminine. Okay. I remembered. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. You're all the divine feminine.
So all that was some mind blowing shit. Like that's what she said in 2012. And me, I'm this 18-year-old kid, and my dad tells me this, and I'm like, Dad, what the fuck? Like, what does that mean? I'm still thinking in terms of Bible. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Oh, I forgot to say this. She said her name was Hathor, and that the hidden one is Amun-Ra. And I'm like, Hathor, what is that? And I look it up, and it's this Egyptian deity. It's just this, like, depicted in ancient Egypt as a sky goddess with a dress that twinkles like the stars in the night sky, and her dress actually twinkled. Mm-hmm. And she said she was the mother, the comforter. She's the divine feminine. And that basically there are cosmic energies at play behind all of creation. You know, everything you see and hear and taste and touch and smell and feel with your physical senses is the material world that us little biological machines are coded to be able to interpret. But there's an invisible spiritual realm that we can't perceive with our body. And there are forces at play in this realm that are encoding all of this stuff around us. And it's dualistic. It's masculine and feminine. There is a, in every ancient religion, there's always a Father God. In the Bible, it's what? It's the Trinity. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the big mystery, the big secret is it's really the Father, the Mother, and the Son. But we are the Son, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the Father, which is the mental, intellectual, orderly, rational, kind of like mathematic side of divine creative forces that, you know, in Freemasonry, they call it the Grand Architect, you know? Have you ever been curious about these secret societies and what the hell they're talking about? They have this, like, geometry symbol to draw compasses and circles and squares and shit on their symbol.
Yeah, like
they're telling you.
I've always wondered about Freemasonry.
Yes. They're telling you that the mind of God works through mathematics and geometry. It's rational. It's articulate. But there's a feminine side, the energy, the spiritual. You could say the magical, the intuitive, the feeling, sensing, you know, loving, nurturing side of the divine.
Yeah.
And what she told my dad is that for thousands of years, the divine feminine has been locked away. It's been hidden. And they took all that out. They omit it from all of the major religions. And we've been in imbalance of these forces for so many thousands of years. That's why we have suffering and all this mass death and starvation and war, and everyone's killing each other over what the fuck God they want to think is cooler than theirs. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about it, that's really all it boils down to. Mm-hmm. People are killing each other. My God's better than yours. No, motherfucker, mine is. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. So when this knowledge is spread, the balance will return, is what she said. And that's what it's all about. It's all about the divine feminine rising back to the balance so that we reach a state of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, you look at all of nature, all of it, flowers, animals, obviously human beings. I mean, there's a masculine and a feminine side to every biological entity. For the most part, there's exceptions. You know, there's things like jellyfish that kind of just like spawn, you know, but like for the most part, there's a masculine and a feminine aspect to everything in nature that spawns. This is encoded into reality. Now, if you really want to go deep, these entities started putting dreams in my head shortly after this. I've always kind of had experiences with my dad. We've been, you know, having these things together, and it's a long story. And I talked about this in great length on the podcast, but they work through dreams. They give you dreams. They told my dad, we can take your soul out of your body and take you wherever we want to go and show you things and teach you things. And people will see your body sleeping and they have no clue what's really going on. And they started giving me these dreams of like Egyptian symbolism and this like intense craving to figure out what it means. They told my dad these Egyptian names. They showed him the pyramids. Keep in mind for the listener, there's 16 years worth of these experiences that we don't even have enough time to get into in one night. And, you know, it's totally a 29 chapter book, and that's really not even the entire story. So they showed my dad the pyramids, they showed him the Sphinx, and they basically indicated that, you know, some of the mysteries of ancient Egypt were very relevant to the secrets of God and the divine and what it really means. And I just started like devoting my life to studying this stuff and stumbling upon what is known as Hermeticism. Hermeticism, for anybody who's curious about spiritual things, Hermeticism is probably the most ancient spiritual system known to mankind. It's where all of these secret society groups, you know, these elites, people could call them Illuminati. That's like one way to look at it. You could say, obviously, Freemasons, Hermetic Order, the Golden Dawn, Ordo Templi Orientis, all of these groups, right? They have all these rituals and all these secret things, and nobody knows what it's all about. It's Hermeticism. And it's the seven rules for reality that they taught since all the way back in the ancient times of Egypt. And it's the belief that there was this sage figure named Hermes Trismegistus, or Hermes Thoth Mercury. And it's this being who, in the way ancient past, gave these seven rules to reality, the secrets that were passed down since, say, like the times of Atlantis, if there was ever such a thing, you know what I mean? If there was ever a precursor society.
Yeah.
And those rules are, everything is mental. We exist in the mind of God. Everything is vibration. Everything vibrates. Every atom vibrates. That's proven in science. Everything is dual. We already talked about this, the male and the female aspects of reality. All of reality is encoded to be dualistic, light and dark, hot and cold, love and fear, male and female, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Everything has a rhythm, this cosmic rhythm. Like through the ages, we go through periods of peace and periods of strife, or you'll have periods of success and failure in your life. You know what I mean? I didn't mean to rhyme that, by the way.
spitting bars over here.
What did I say? Vibration.
You were saying rhythm was the last one that you had. You had rhythm, vibration, duality, rhythm,
gender, in the sense that not only is there duality, but then like what we were talking about earlier, there's a specific rule that talks about how all of reality is gender. There's a masculine and a feminine aspect of all reality. I mean, even the plants in nature have male and female species. You know what I mean? This is probably the very most important one. And if you pay attention to this one, you will learn a lot about spiritual things. It's called the principle of correspondence. In popular mystical circles, it means, or it's called, as above, so below. Now, what that means is, as it is in the spiritual realm, the higher invisible realm that all of this little, tiny little earthly life comes from, it will be in the physical realm. They are mirror images of one another. The physical, this little holographic projection that we live in that we think is real, but it's really just an illusion. It is a projection from the higher realms or the higher realm or whatever. You know, there's a twin invisible spiritual. It's that yin and yang. We live in the realm that we can see, we can interpret, but there is a, you know, invisible realm. We come from that. As above, so below. As below, so above. As within, so without. As without, so within. That's the full saying. So if you really pay attention to that, you really meditate on that, you can understand some really spiritual shit. As it is in your inner reality, it will be manifested into your outer life. As the things are happening in your outer life, they are a reflection of your inner reality. It's all like a...
It's like an interplay kind of between these different forces. Yeah.
And the crux of all this, these ancient Egyptians in these mystery schools, they were basically saying, we live in an illusion. It's just a big dream. It's kind of like a nightmare. It's actually kind of like hell. And if you think about it, it does kind of suck to be here. I mean, you got to pay taxes just to survive. You know, everyone around you, you know, has lost someone in their family and has suffered extreme heartbreak or death or starvation or failures or, pain, you know, you look on the news and people are starving everywhere in the world. Millions are dying. It fucking sucks here when you think about it. And that's kind of like why reincarnation is so wonderful, because it's like, when you understand that's the reality of this place, and it's about, you know, being like a light to go on to a better place. You're not really, it's a long story. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but anyway, let me make sure I hit those last laws. I know I forgot one.
Yeah. I think we had rhythm. We had vibration. We had duality. I don't know if, like gender fell under that, as above, so below.
Polarity. We talked. Oh, polarity. I think I skipped over that one. Opposite. There's not only is there a dualistic rule. So there's the law of duality. And then there's the gender one saying all of reality is encoded to be, you know, male or female aspects of creation.
Yeah.
But then there's also polarity, meaning if you imagine the opposite of any one thing is actually just a differing degree of that one thing. So like, think about it like this. There's that famous quote. Einstein was always like, you see this meme online, you know, back in the old Facebook days when they would be like, that kid said, and you know what I'm talking about? In that college class, it's like this cheesy little story. And it's like, that kid was Einstein. And he was,
oh yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I might know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
He's having the conversation with his professor. And it's like, actually there is no cold. Cold is the absence of heat. Right. Well, it's true. They're saying the same thing. Dark is the absence of light. Fear is the absence of love. Cold is the absence of heat, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then I think, cause and effect, karma. Karma is inherently true in all of reality. There's a cosmic effect to every cause. And that's it. That's all seven. And, you know, that's something so that our song, Smaragdi, the Atlantean, is this is what that song is about. I mentioned it at the beginning of the episode, but all of this stuff, like if you read the lyrics, you'll see as above, so below. Look within and you will grow, as within, so without, blah, blah, blah. So trying to kind of like subliminally put some really spiritual, mystical stuff on people, but not be too like, you know, pushy about it. I don't know.
Yeah. But
no, I always thought that was the best way to do things.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Not be pushy.
Subtlety is massive. And in terms of like conveying, especially in this day and age where people can be a little too like down your throat on, you know, on either end of any spectrum, like, in terms of belief argumentatively or whatnot, like people are very forceful in their argument. Argument's not a bad word. Some people would look at it that way. Like argument's literally just you conveying your perspective. And like some people will look at it as being forceful, or they'll approach from a forceful way. And the best way to do it is just like, do it gently.
I always thought the best way to change somebody's mind.
Yeah.
Instead, like you can't just butt heads.
Right.
You got to go in like with understanding what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then you gently convey your side. And because like when you go in just butting heads, that does nothing. It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. You know? Even if you don't change their mind, even if like they're totally unfazed at the end, it's
if
like
you come in gently.
Yeah.
You know, like you come in loving. And you're like, hey, I understand what you're saying. This is what I'm saying. Like they think on it more, because like if you come in butting heads, they're just going to, everybody's going to leave in a rage. And when you're in a rage, you're blind. You don't see things that you need to see, you know? So that's where I've always come from with that. Or 100%. I've tried to, at least sometimes I'm like, hey,
it's important.
Fuck this guy. But a lot of the time I come in and I'm kind of like I said, gentle, understanding. That's how you change minds.
Honey over vinegar type situation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Man, that was I just realized I just talked y'all's head off for like, did you get the answer to your question?
I put like so much clarity to it. I like the one thing that I'd want clarity on regarding that is, so I'm curious in terms of a cause and effect kind of capacity here. So we're talking about like an omniscient energy that kind of, like creative force that kind of did it all. Was it this trinity that you speak of in terms of father, mother, son. Was it that initiated that blast of energy and created all human like capacity for creativity and reason and whatnot? Or was the force a creator of this Trinity? I'm just like kind of just getting back to the source. I think
that's essentially what I'm. That's a good word. Source is a good word. That's a very popular word used in these circles. I mean, I can only speculate, you know, but like in my understanding, when if you just imagine, right, we're just little humans, right? We literally have such a limited awareness. We see things in the same room as us. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like I'm sitting here looking at my drum set. By the way, you guys can see it if you want.
Fuck yeah. You can look at mine too. Hell yeah.
What is that, a Roland?
Yeah, Roland TD-11.
Nice. I have the Alesis Strike Pro SE. I didn't even mention, by the way, I'm the drummer for Twiceborn.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
I said but everybody else is, and not me, but yeah, I'm the drummer.
Fellow drummer over here. I'm with you, man. I fucking love it.
Yeah. Thank you, dude. So I can only speculate, but in my sense tells me that if you zoom all the way as far as fucking possible from a human being's awareness, like if we just all agree that there is some original reality, right? Mm-hmm. In my interpretation or my understanding of it, we all come from light. And I mean that literally. I mean, quite literally, we come from light. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Everything you eat has light in it. What do you mean? Well, all the vegetables you eat is soaking up light. All the animals you eat is out in the light. And we then they're eating they're eating the vegetables that are soaking up the light. They've done studies that have proven this. If you pop a blood cell in a petri dish, there's little flashes of light. When a sperm and an egg meet, there is a flash of light. And I didn't really go into this much because I've honestly just been like, you know, going in a different direction here. But the majority of things that we've seen in our experiences have been lights. They've been orbs of light, spheres of light, light beings. I've seen entities run across my yard that are just pure glowing light. I've seen entities in my bedroom that are light. This lady was glowing of light. Mm-hmm. It's all light. They're all light beings. That's the secret. They're not aliens. They're not extraterrestrials with little ray guns trying to probe us and all that. I'm of the sense that may not be real, and that may be the big deception. You know, the deception that this dark group is trying to put out on humanity, so that we kind of like forget who we are and where we come from, which is inherently spiritual. Religious. It means, you know, spiritual and religious don't have to be the same thing, but it's all light. 100%. I think we come from light. I think that our soul is literally light. And, you know, if you want to get woo woo or mystical or whatever, I think our chakras act as like a sort of a mechanism to bind the physical body to the soul, or vice versa, bind the spiritual soul to the physical world. And like, if you understand chakras and you read it, it's not just Naruto. It's not just like summoning your energy to do jutsu and cool shit like that. Like, there's a real spiritual belief behind chakras. And it's the sense that, you know, you have seven metaphysical centers that correspond to sort of like problems that you're going through in your daily life, that if you learn these lessons and overcome them and solve them, you sort of like activate these centers. You could think about it like karma, right? Like, you know, in your past life, you did some horrible, heinous thing to other people. So you're born into this life and you're going to experience the opposite of that, so that on the soul level, you can develop the empathy and compassion to all those victims that you've mistreated because you've experienced the suffering of that action. You know what I mean? It's karma, like in between lives. But anyway. Mm. I think if you zoom out to the highest level, it's all one. It's just light. It's just pure light. Yeah. And I think the farther away you get from that light, it just vibrates slower and slower and slower and slower and slower until it gives the illusion of dense material things. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you really think about it, material things, biological organisms, you know, your knock on wood, your hard things that you can touch and you can feel, that what most people think is the real thing, it's just a bunch of atoms grouped really closely together, vibrating at a certain slow rate so that we can perceive it. Mm-hmm. But what if I told you I've seen entities that vibrate so fast, it's a flash of light. And next thing you know, I feel this electricity run through my body. literally, like this actually has happened to me. I've seen things that move so fast, just like a flash of light, and it just pops in and pops out.
Yeah.
I know for a fact, I know because I've seen and because I have experienced that there are entities that vibrate at a rate that we can't perceive with our physical bodies. They come from somewhere else, a higher dimension, a higher vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I've ever seen them, which has been in the thousands upon thousands times thousands in 16 years of this crazy shit going on.
Yeah.
They always appear to be light. Yeah. And they move so fucking fast. It's like they're clearly not only super intelligent, but can perceive reality in a way that is like borderline omniscient. The things that they can do, the minute reactions that they can give you when someone else turns around for a quick moment and you see it and no one else does, or three people did and two people didn't. You know, they just can do things that are so far beyond human comprehension.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I believe they are made of light. I believe that they are beings who are advanced far beyond our spiritual understanding at humankind's like current level of awareness. And I think that they don't need physical material bodies anymore. Mm-hmm. They can just go wherever they want to go.
Yeah. Is there sorry, go ahead.
Oh, the last thing I was going to say is, you know, that's what this entity told my dad, is that it's all about the journey of the soul. And that eventually, you know, when you've learned everything you need to learn, you go where you want to go. You become like these lights and you can move on.
Mm-hmm. So the lights are, so what I'm kind of curious about here now is, so we have like this upper and this lower, this as above, so below. Mm-hmm. Type scenario, and we have what it's sounding like is that there's entities within that above mm-hmm. area, and then we're in the below at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Do we achieve being in the above upon our human passing, or like is there a threshold at which like people arrive at the above, like even during their human tenure?
My honest interpretation
is
that the way we achieve that is through okay. There is a concept called gnosis.
Mm-hmm.
It's G-N-O-S-I-S. For anybody out there who's you aware of that?
Yeah, we've only heard of it.
We know the word monuments. Yeah.
The band?
Yeah.
Sick. I've heard monuments before, but now I'm definitely interested to listen. There's a part in our song, the one I was telling about, Smaragdi the Atlantean, where it's just like, even me, I'm not a screamer, but I got in on this. We got like five or six of us just screaming gnosis, just trying to like
fuck yeah
put the concept into people's brain. But the quick version of that, and this is a lot of information that I'm trying to unpack on listeners, but I'm trying to be very concise so people hear this. And they know where to go, where to research if they're interested. But gnosis is a Greek word. It means knowledge. It means kind of like learning the secret knowledge. And it was really popular amongst Plato and his followers, that nerdy philosopher that we learned about in Philosophy 101 or even in some high school classes. Well, he was sick as fuck. And he had a really cool spiritual system. And in the times of Jesus... Yes, I still like Jesus. I'm not a Christian, but I think there's a lot of really cool shit there.
Absolutely.
Which I'm going to breeze past. Mm. In the times of Jesus, there was this group of, you could call them Greek sages, called the Neoplatonists, which basically means like the new followers of Plato, you know, like Neoplatonists. And actually, it was Neoplatonists who wrote the Gospel of John. That's a cool fact that most people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so... Fast forward a couple thousand years later, in the 1950s, there were some kids playing in the desert in Egypt in a place called Nag Hammadi, and they accidentally broke open some clay pots. This is real, actual archaeological history. It was a major, like, paradigm-shattering discovery. And in these clay pots, they discovered these secret texts that had a different story about Jesus. And what these clay text, or not clay texts, but in the clay pots there were the texts. Mm-hmm. What these texts described about Jesus was that actually he was telling people all that shit that I just said, that we're reincarnating through lives, that we're actually in the hell realm, that he called it a nightmare, that we're in the illusion, and that we're reincarnating until we are lit up with the secret truth that we come from this eternal spiritual reality, and that when we live as by the example that he gave us, that we, that our soul will light up, that it'll be activated and you'll be able to go to the next place. They call it Gnosticism. This, mm-hmm. this secondary, you could say, like, heretical, these people were being slaughtered by at the time, the mainstream church. Cause you find out that there was a group of heretical Christians in the ancient past called the Gnostics that were teaching this stuff. So we have not only these documents being found in the 1950s, then you have real history where these Gnostics were teaching this shit, like all this hippie mystical crap, like that I love, by the way, like reincarnation and all of this stuff. They were being slaughtered by, you know, the mainstream authorities at the time, like the Catholic Church, whatever form it was present at the, you know, in that age. So my point is, it vibes with all this other mystery stuff. So yeah. I think, like, if I'm going to take from that, I believe that it's true what it's saying, that, like, it's gnosis. Like, you live through probably thousands of times since the span of creation. Like, imagine, you know, biological life started here millions and millions and millions of years ago. How many lives do you think you've had? Energy is eternal, right? Energy can't be created or destroyed. Isn't that, like, mm-hmm. isn't that a scientific law?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
I believe so.
I mean, this is accepted scientific fact, right? Isn't there energy animating your physical body?
Actually, that begs a question at a, like, is there, it's like, I honestly love this stuff because, like, the more I hear about it, the more I, like, have questions just out of, like, from a place of curiosity. I want to keep drilling. I feel like I've been drilling, and it's just, like, because I'm like, really, like, enamored by this, and I'm really curious cool. about it. Yeah.
But
like,
think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's energy animating your material body. You are energy. You are a being of energy. There are tiny little electrochemical impulses firing your muscles and the neurons in your brain. You are energy. You have to consume food and sunlight to create energy for your biological functions to even happen. You are an energy being. But I thought energy was eternal according to science, right? So anyway, my point there is we are eternal beings. Maybe not in this form. Maybe not in this little life, but the consciousness that is animating your body is drawing from all these little physical resources to animate you. There is a version of you that is eternal, that is not your present form that you are now, but that comes from that higher place. It is omniscient. It is omnipresent. And whatever the other third word, I can't remember the other word, omnipotent.
Omnipotent, you know? Omniscient. Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe that that version of you from that eternal place is running the show. I think we all have this higher version of ourselves that comes from this original source consciousness or mind or whatever mm-hmm. that is carefully crafting every life that we incarnate here to learn whatever the soul needs to learn to reach that gnosis where your mm-hmm. soul lights up and then it doesn't need to come back. Yeah. I believe that we are at a moment in time, not only individually, you know, each person is, you know, has their own spiritual thing going on, but collectively the human race. That's what I think the age of Aquarius shit is all about. Mm-hmm. I think we're at a point where we're all going to very soon be faced with these mysteries and kind of unlock that potential in who we are, where we come from. When this stuff starts spreading, and believe me, it's going to start spreading. I mean,
and especially with y'all bringing some stuff up, like in the time to come too, it's like, then it'll give that much more, like, you know, attention to this idea. So that's going to certainly help it right there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. The more people see these, ask Tom Barber, call him, ask him.
He Let's came get him on the line house. Right now.
No, yeah. I mean, I don't know. He's probably playing Fortnite right now, but he came over, he saw these lights. Dude, I'm telling you, like,
he told me about it on the bus.
Uh-huh.
We had a conversation about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I went over there, dude, and I'll let Ryan say it, but dude,
mm-hmm.
I've heard it. So
yeah, totally.
Holy shit.
I mean, you know, the moral of the story there is like, there's something real happening. There's something real happening that is coming from another place. And like, I don't want to be too cheesy and say, you know, it's prophecy this or prophecy that, but like, we are approaching an age, I think, where people are going to rapidly start waking up to what's really going on here, kind of like the higher spiritual stuff. And, you know, it's to answer your question, I know I have these long-winded answers.
I'm a very complicated guy. Yeah, this is sick. Like, seriously, like, bring it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think it's all about gnosis. I think it's a very true concept. It's the concept that, like, once you know the truth, you're awake. You can see through the illusion. You realize there truly is something else going on from another place. It's just as real as me and you, but our physical body can't touch it. But it doesn't matter because it's real. It's actually more real. And it's light. And like, if you want to get even crazier, I mean, modern science has proven that light is intelligent. Have you guys heard of that?
I have not heard that. Now.
The photon double slit experiment. They proved this. What they did was they took a photon of light, which is so small that it's imperceptible to the human eye. And they shot a photon out of a little, I mean, I don't know how this works. I'm not a scientist, but they had a little gun that could shoot photon beams. Mm-hmm. And they shot it through this tiny little slit. And they had this device measuring the outcome of the light and a device measuring the trajectory of the light. And the light behaved differently when it was being observed. And then they shot two photons of light side by side. Same thing. They had a thing measuring the trajectory and a thing measuring the outcome. And what they proved was that if you observe the trajectory of the light, it just goes straight. Just literally one outcome. Mm-hmm. It's behaving according to how it should be, right? Like how we perceive things to be. But when it wasn't being observed, what they measured the outcome of the light's trajectory was infinitely possible scenarios of ways in which the light could behave, including breaking away from a particle form and turning into wave form, mm-hmm. as well as every impossible scenario, whatever that means. The light literally broke down the rules of reality and behaved in a way that we can't even comprehend when the machine stopped observing the trajectory of the light. My whole point is, man, this whole thing is an illusion. I think it's a matrix of light. I think we come from light. I think God is light. Mm-hmm. Everything I've ever seen is light. And now to wrap it up, the finale, you said, how do we get to the over, right? Yeah. The above, the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. I believe that the sages like Jesus, Buddha, Zoroaster, a lot of these like really hippy dippy dudes from the way ancient past who still get talked about to this day.
Yeah.
I believe that the message that they gave, which was love, compassion, you know, being kind to others, mercy, forgiveness, all that like really cheesy stuff. I believe that these are the actions that a material human can embody to resonate with light.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's Does
almost
that make
like
sense?
It almost like establishes a similar vibration of some
vibration.
Sort.
Yep. Be okay. kind to others. Yeah. I'm not saying be Christian. I'm not saying be Jewish or Muslim or whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm just saying be kind hearted, be honest with other people and with yourself, help people. And I'll tell you this, most people in the 16 years that my family has been like in the public eye, having these experiences, we've had thousands of people reach out to us and be like, I had a sighting, man. Not just Tom Barbers who are playing stadium shows in front of thousands of people, but everyday, regular, ordinary Joes, thousands of them have reached out to us and been like, I had a sighting. I saw orbs. I saw lights. What does it mean? What does it mean? The number one question that my dad always asks is, what's going on in your life? What are you experiencing right now? Mm-hmm. And every single one of them is going through, at the time, is going through some sort of profoundly traumatic event, whether it's a death in the family, cancer, a chronic, terminal illness, extreme heartache and suffering and trauma. And I believe that there's something special about, like, you know, when these beings approached us initially, it wasn't like, you know, life was all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, it's all in the book. We were also in the same state. I mean, my dad was like suicidal, basically was going to kill himself. He was praying out to God. It's a long story. He lost a multi-million-dollar business because he had a debilitating illness and he couldn't function. And he was ready to die. He had four kids. You know, we were all young and he couldn't take care of us. It was a bad scenario. He was ready to give up and he prayed out and he said, you know, God, either heal me or kill me. And then he started having the experiences. But my point is, these beings respond to compassion. They show up as a sign for either traumatized individuals or sick individuals suffering. They're very, in my experience, in my honest interpretation, they're very benevolent. They're almost they're almost kind of like angels.
Noted on that.
I think I've really rambled a lot at you guys. So thanks for.
No, this is great.
I love this.
So okay, I'll have one more question because
I'm good,
like,
by the way.
Okay, cool.
I'm mindful of your time.
Yeah, just because I feel like I'll out of curiosity, I'll like prod some more and some more. So so thank you for fielding all these because so we've kind of come to this source that kind of helps us all like establish an understanding of what this is. That source being light kind of at the center and light having a benevolent, omniscient and omnipotent nature about it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess where one thing that I'm curious about here is there's, I know it's showing itself to some individuals who are dealing with certain kind of issues. I guess the curiosity with me is it's decision-making almost in when it is presenting itself. So it'll present itself in that where it's like people dealing with trauma, people dealing with turmoil or whatnot.
People in need.
And then in other cases, like say, like we're not hearing about it being like showing itself to people that could probably use a kick in the ass saying, hey, don't be a piece of shit to people. Maybe they're just not receptive to it. And then one other thought that I have is the fact that when it knows it's being observed, it behaves a certain way when you would almost anticipate that if it wants to present this idea to be applied en masse, that it would behave in such a way where it's like, hey, look at me doing this. Like I'm like, instead of when it's being observed, it like doesn't act in such a way that its perception would be caught on to, if that makes sense.
Maybe my story can help discern this. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I would love to hear it, actually.
Yeah.
So as I work at this bar in town, it's called the Lariat. It's a live music venue. Pretty cool little place. I'm just there like kind of doing rounds, you know, it's my night off. Come outside. My boss pulls in, / buddy. I mean, we're homies, dude. Like, I love this man to death. He's like my older brother. I'm standing there and I look up in the sky and I see this orb. Mm-hmm. Pretty good size too. And this was around the time of the spy balloon thing.
Oh, again, so that's recent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. This is like
the last few months.
Yeah.
Yep. And a lot of people were like, oh, it's just a spy balloon. Fuck off. But I'm telling you, it wasn't. And then, so I'm like, I look up and I go, what the fuck is that? And my buddy's in his truck smoking a cigarette. You know, he's puts it out real quick. It's like, what the fuck is what? And he gets out and we're both staring at this orb, you know, in the sky. And it just starts moving across the sky a little bit. And he goes, if that disappears, that's aliens. And that just disappears, gone. And then we're both just like, what the fuck did we just see?
Yeah.
Like, cause we both saw it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just curious, like what that would possibly be.
Mm-hmm. You saw what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They appear as lights. And look, I don't know how much time you guys have, but you know, the more I get, you have to understand, like, that with 16 years of history running up on this thing, it's like the more I get talking, the more it unfolds. And
totally,
like,
yeah.
there's a lot that I haven't been able to cover, but so in 07, 2007, January 8th, when my dad first started having these experiences and my brother, Chris Jr., What they saw were these giant. Okay, so let me break it down. So my dad saw this stuff first, and then he was taken for 4 hours. I know it sounds crazy as hell, but it is what it is.
Totally.
And he was taken away, and he had what's called missing time, and he actually had profound lapses in his memory of 4 hours, and it took him a year to finally unpack that after reporting his sightings to this intelligence collection agency that investigates UFO sightings. It came out, they did the documentary investigation, they got a Harvard hypnotic regression therapist, and they did hypnotherapy on my dad, and he was able to like unpack all the missing time. But what he saw was he walks up to the top of this like hill. He was super depressed. Like I said, he was very suicidal, like just at the end of his rope. He was out fishing with three of his friends and subcontractors, and my brother, who at the time was working for my dad. He was like 16 or 17. I don't know. But they were fishing one night after finishing a job. So anyway, my dad's just not feeling it. He walks away, he goes to the top of the hill, and he sees these two supermassive orange balls of light that look like the sun. Like at first he's like, oh, the sun. Wait a minute. There's not two suns. And they're just floating on the horizon. He turns around to run away, and then when he looks back one more time, a third one appears. And then he has lapses in his memory, and the next thing he remembered was being down at the bonfire. It's dark. It's like 11 p.m. Keep in mind, this is like 2007. Everybody didn't just have cell phones back then, especially people that couldn't afford it. It was all flip phones. He didn't even have a phone. It didn't click with him what time it was. We're out in the country, you know, he just didn't understand that he had 4 hours of missing time. And everybody's like, "Where the hell have you been? We've been looking for you for hours." And it was chaos. My brother was in the woods by himself for like 2 hours, staring face to face with two 3 to 4 foot tall entities that had red eyes, and they were like translucent, and they had lights, like they glowed like light. And anyway, he snaps out of that because when my dad walks back down to the crowd, those entities disappear. My brother's like released, like he like couldn't move. They all meet up, they're all freaking out, and then one of them says, "Look," and they look up, and there's like 8 or 9 giant balls of white light. They look like stars in the sky, and then they all scramble around, and then some of them shoot to the other side of the river that they were fishing at. It's a really big river, and shoots into the woods on the other side of it. They're freaking the fuck out. They're thinking it's an invasion. They're thinking it's the end of the world. They hop in their truck. They speed out of there. And by the time they make it up this like half mile long, very narrow wooded trail, that only one car can go either way through, get to the top of that path where my dad had that first sighting hours before. And one of those big white lights was stopped in front of the truck, like ground level. And it's literally, they're just these big, brilliant. It's like they're like balls of light, but they're like alive, and they rotate with these strange visuals that don't make sense to how we typically perceive and understand things. I've seen them later as I was older. I've seen them myself, and it looks like light as if it was a being. Like imagine a light, like you look in a light bulb, you're seeing light, but like you're also seeing the glass, you know, that's encasing the light. And then it kind of like, ooh, it's like bright when you look at it. This isn't like that. It's like, imagine light as a form, as an entity. And it's kind of like flowing. It looks like fire, but it's not fire. And it's like lava, but also like you could say like a jellyfish. Like it doesn't look like the shape of a jellyfish, but it has this strange, you just can't,
It's like
it's,
amorphous kind of,
yeah, like
yeah.
you can't describe it. It's like, and they just look like that. And one of those things took my dad on it. Took him away for 4 hours. They were searching for him, and it showed him the pyramids. And when he was inside this thing, it was not only a being, but it was like a type of being that transmits other beings. And there were other beings on board. They were like 8 foot tall, and they told him, "Don't worry about your son; he's fine." And I know we're hopping right off into Crazyville here, but if somebody stuck around this long in the show, like they're probably really interested. So, you know,
Hell yeah. Brian's easier about it.
So they told him they're the guardians of Earth. They tend to Earth like a terrarium. They basically have been the ones like manipulating physical evolution throughout the aeons that we've lived here in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, it's the journey of the soul, and that what they said was they took my dad's soul from another place, put him in this life so that he would have this experience and go tell people about it and wake them up.
Yeah.
And they showed him some other things like the pyramids and you know, just other random stuff, like other, you know, how they experimented with, you know, biology in the ancient past. They like had like beings that looked funny, like dogs with like duck bills and weird shit, like just indicating to him that they control the keys of evolution for biological life. They made us, they created us is what they said.
Mm-hmm.
They had a triangle on their chest and they said it represents the Trinity, and that they serve creation. And I mean, that's it. And then they took him back, dropped him off. He couldn't remember. That all came later after the hypnotic regression, but we still kept having experiences. Fast forward 5 years, and then he had that experience with the female entity. And then it gets even crazier than that. I don't think there's enough time in the night to even go into the next
we'll
bizarre...
have to do a follow-up episode, because we could totally just keep doing this.
No doubt. Yeah, but, I would love that. It's all, if anybody's like curious, it's all detailed in my dad's book, UFO of God. It's been out for...
I gotta read that, yeah.
It's been out since February. Yeah. It's a brand new book. And it's our baby, and it details the vast majority of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's insane. You know, like I can't describe like the shocking things that I've experienced, you know, like,
yeah,
seeing entities in the room and I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Dude, absolutely. That like flips your reality on its head.
It does.
Type situation.
It flips your reality. Yeah. Sometimes I'm at a loss of words. Yeah.
Everything you think you know, like you have backwards, or you've been misperceiving it all this time or whatnot. This is fascinating. And I just gotta like reiterate again, I really hope that any questioning I had wasn't like taken as a defensive thing or anything. It's like, it's because
don't even worry about it.
Yeah, this is just like I think it's because I come from a place where I know like Doug had an encounter. You've had years and years, like over half a lifetime worth of encounters at this point. And since I haven't, it's like, I'm the one with like many, many questions right now. And so this is fun. Like this is fun and super, super educating for me just to like hear about this experience, having not had it myself. So just to kind of get the insider scoop on what this is, like what the experiences are, what to make of it, what it all traces back to, the whys and all this. So thank you. Like, seriously, thank you for fielding all my questions on this. Like
dude,
I really,
absolutely.
Really appreciate it.
I mean, I'm having a blast, and like, yeah. I don't have anything else planned. So like, if you had any more questions, that's totally okay. If you wanted to wrap it up, that's totally okay. Doug, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
So what was going on in your life around the time you had that sighting?
Yeah. I was trying to remember that, you know, once you said that, I don't know. I think, it's not even traumatic, but like,
it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's actually around the time I think I decided I was going to move to Los Angeles to pursue film. And I don't know, like I'm always like a very like doubtful person about a lot of things. Like just generally myself, like I don't have a lot of confidence in myself on a lot of things. Like I'm always like, is that the right move?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah.
I think there's a love interest I had that wasn't really reciprocating at the time as well. Mm. Yeah. So just kind of stuff like that. But I mean, I wouldn't really consider those traumatic experiences, but there was definitely like that. There's a little bit of uncertainty going on.
Yeah,
for sure.
I wonder if they also like, if it also hit like a 2-for-1 special, like for lack of a better way of putting it, like you dealing with stuff, and then like maybe our buddy who Doug works with, his name is Zach also. And if maybe Zach has some, maybe it was like a recognition of like two people experiencing some stuff, and it's like, it just, It just happened to be there for both of that.
For the record, also, I saw this before.
Yeah.
Like, I heard Ryan talk about any of this before I talked with Tom.
Uh-huh.
Like, just an orb. This is happening
because you saw that. That's the reality of it. Let me just tell you what's going on here. Based on my, and I don't want to like try to, you know, all due respect, like you speak your
mind as freely as you want.
We expect the best intentions out of anyone we have on. So that's our.
Here's what's really going on here. There's an awakening happening, like, period. And there's things that I've been involved with my whole life. Like, you know, anybody can look this up. Since I was 15 years old, the documentary came out when I was 15. Experiences started at 13. My dad waited a year to report these experiences because of the vicious feedback he was getting before it went public. Just like mom, dad, family, you know, his mom, dad, family, friends, like, dude, you're fucking crazy. You know, like, you know, God bless my mom. She didn't know any better. She literally brought a Baptist preacher to our house back in those days to try to exorcise the devil out of my dad, because he was talking about seeing these things, like, talk about a traumatic experience as a little kid witnessing that. But
yeah,
anyway, point is, once the story went public, when I was 15 years old, a NASA agent literally knocked on the front door, rang the doorbell. Hey, is this Chris Bledsoe's house? I'd love to meet him. And for the next, until now, until 2023, I've literally been investigated by NASA, CIA, all these intelligence agencies. I've met them. I've been to their houses. I've been to CIA program directors' houses. Tomorrow, my dad is actually going to a CIA program director's house just to have dinner, just to hang out. He invited him over. These people have been probing us. Tell us what these beings are telling you. What do they want for humanity? What are they? Why are they coming to you? They don't interact with us. They don't want anything to do with us. What do they want with you? You know, they have indicated to my dad that they know that the government at large, the CIA, the you know, NASA, all of these intelligence clandestine agencies who are in the know, so to speak, about the truth, you know, the paranormal stuff. They know that there is an event coming, that there is some sort of mass awakening disclosure event happening. And truthfully, that's why these media organizations are putting out all this bullshit about aliens. And it's just this spiral of all this crap since the 1940s about all these Martians and invaders and stuff spreading and spreading and spreading. Because behind the scenes, there's a real awakening happening. And it's everyday people like Doug and like me and like Tom Barber and like the thousands of other people that I've met that are seeing these lights. And then they're having synchronicities. And then he's going to a show in Colorado, and then he's bumping into his homie Dave from Chelsea Grin, and then he meets Tom, who saw the same thing, and then he introduces you to me, and here we are. But in reality, it all came from the lights. It was none of it was an accident. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's happening at large. That's happening collectively, very slowly. My estimation is probably by 2026, the whole world's going to know about this shit. Because that's when that star alignment's going to happen. The one that I told you about earlier, when the star Regulus aligns with the gaze of the Sphinx, our friends at NASA said that they ran it through the simulations or whatever, that alignment supposedly happens in 2026.
Huh. That's mind-blowing. I need to delve more.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I was about to ask another question. But honestly, I think we should follow this up, because we could do another 2 hours of this shit, even just getting a little more into it. Like, this is cool stuff. No pressure.
But yeah. I'm totally down to do a part two, but I highly recommend you guys read the book.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely want to read
pressure.
That
I totally understand if you're busy. I'm not, you know, I think that if you did, you'll really like,
let's read it. That
would definitely be like, okay. So that 100%, that's gonna be homework, because I'm curious and I have a lot of questions, so that will at least give me a great crash course. And then whenever we do follow up, like in the time to come or whatever, I'll be able to come back with a refined understanding, and then we can go from there. Because I'm really intrigued. So very, very intrigued.
Your mind is opened. That's what's happening.
It's like I was saying, it's just kind of coming from a different perspective than the two of y'all. It's like,
right.
It's just kind of trying to conceptualize it without having the experience, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
So this, I actually think it's a good thing that like you two have had this and that one of us hasn't, because it's like, because then I can just prod and like, and ask away, you know? So
you guys have a few minutes. I'm sorry to cut you off, but do you have a few minutes after we hang up? Like, do you have to bounce out, or do you have a few minutes?
Where we got a few minutes for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not going to say it on air, but after we hang up, I'm going to get your numbers. So live while we're here, you know, on the Zoom, after we hang up the show, I'm going to send you guys some videos, some actual videos. We have thousands of videos. I didn't even mention that. We have thousands of videos of these orbs and these lights, and some of them are like entities doing weird shit. I'm gonna show you guys some stuff.
Dude, 100%.
Fuck yeah.
Well, I guess in that case, we usually say we came to time, but we're long past time, but we're like so down with it because this is cool. Like just kind of getting into the nitty gritty with this. But as we kind of wrap this up at this point, I guess we could just leave it to the rolling out the red carpet at this point and kind of buttoning up that for when we get into a follow-up conversation. But we want to leave this on-air conversation on kind of a note of about you. We want to make sure that all of our Bronzies know where they can follow, even though we talked about the band this much versus all this other stuff this much.
Well, I kind of figured that would happen.
Dude, absolutely. And like that, the thing is, and I'll even say this on air, like the thing that we appreciate about this format is like we bring people on because the common denominator that we all have is a love and appreciation for metal music. Wherever the hell the conversation goes outside of that, we all are like super chill and cool with each other and friends to begin with, because we like share this love for this thing, you know? So like wherever the hell the conversation goes is great, because then also then like anyone that's listening gets to know you and what you're doing, like what you're interested in. Like they'll find out about your music at like, but they get to know you as a human first. And then they get
music
to like
speaks for itself, honestly, you know, like, and I'm pretty shy about the music anyway, so people can hear it. And if they like it, they like it. I'm super thankful, but I'm new to this. Like it comes out on, it's not even out. You know, like it comes out on Friday, so we'll see. I hope people like it.
Yeah, let all of our Bronzies know where they can follow Twiceborn, where they can follow you, where they can keep in touch with all the music, all that. Let them know everything about or even the podcast as well.
Sure.
Floor is yours.
Let me get the exact handle here. We are Twiceborn Band on Instagram. And we look, there's an Omega. Remember I said my homie's Greek. So like he's the brain behind this. So we have some Greek stuff. So there's an Omega symbol in one of the O's or in the O on Twiceborn. So it can be hard to find on Apple Music and Spotify. Just find us on Instagram. We have link trees and things like that. Twiceborn Band. You'll see all the mystical shit. You'll know you're in the right place. And then Bledsoe Said So. I don't think it's just Bledsoe Said So on Instagram. That's my last name, by the way. Ryan Bledsoe, that's my name. I don't think I've even said that.
We introduced you from the jump, so you're good to go on that.
Cool, yeah. My name's Ryan Bledsoe. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, but really, I mean, if you find our podcast page, Bledsoe Said So, you'll find everything you need to find. Patreon, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, all of it. It's like our hub is the Instagram, so.
Hell yeah. Well, Bronzies, in that case, you know where to find Ryan. You know where to find where to find everything he's got going on right now, because he's got some cool shit between the music and the podcast and just fascinating dude in general. So please, Bronzies, go follow him. Go support what he's doing. Got new stuff coming out this weekend. It's May 26th on Friday. I don't know when this will come out, but even if it comes out after that,
it'll be out midnight on Friday. So
yeah. So Bronzies, go support Ryan. Dude's an absolute unit. And Bronzies, I guess until next time, this has been Bronze Metal Podcast.